Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Eagle Eye. I'm Ruben Frank. This is Dave Zangaro, and this is probably the most exciting day of the entire offseason. Forget the draft. Forget the first day of free agency.
This is it.
The day the schedule comes out. Love it.
All right, you ready? Win, 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 loss, win, loss, loss, win, win, bye, win, loss, win, 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 win. I'm going home.
Win, 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 win.
All the way home.
Win, 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 win. There you go.
That's all we needed to do.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time. So we're going to kind of go through it. And I don't know. We'll just kind of figure this out as we go.
First, you want to talk about like the overall, like what stands out to you before we go game by game?
Before that, I think what I like about the schedule day is this. I think it's the first time. It's like the 2019 season comes to life when you can look down and see the schedule.
Yeah.
It's like the first day that you kind of turn the page on last year and to the 2019 season kind of becomes a thing. It's like a baby being born. It's the first time you actually see it come
to
life.
So poetic.
And I'm going to get emotional here. but, you know, because until today, like, you just don't have a sense of the season. So I think that's
– Yeah, it feels more real now. I
get that. It does.
Yeah,
and you can kind of just plan your travel and figure out what their record's going to be and all that fun
stuff.
Along
those lines, I'd like to issue a very heartfelt thank you to the schedule makers because
– Yes.
At Buffalo, at Minnesota, at Green Bay, all before December – Miami in December. Thank you.
Yeah, the Snowbelt games are done by the end of October.
That's the first thing. I'm very selfish when it comes to this stuff. That is the first thing I made sure of, that we weren't going to have to deal with a blizzard in December in Green Bay.
Yeah, and it's crazy how the only flight the Eagles will have after October 28th is to Miami in December.
Yeah, and then you have, what, four straight weeks at the end against division opponents? You don't have to drive, or you don't have to fly. You just drive or take the train.
Before we go through this, give me some overall observations.
Well, the start of the schedule is pretty favorable, I think. To start off with Washington, you don't say it's an easy win, but let's be honest, they don't have a quarterback. That's about as easy as it gets at home against Washington to start the season. At Atlanta, I guess that's a little bit tough, but then you get home against Detroit, and they weren't a great team last year. So I think that's a pretty good way to start your season. To me, the meat of the schedule, the toughest part starts with they have a three-game road trip before the bye week. That's pretty tough. They're at Minnesota, at Dallas, at Chicago. Then they have three home games with the bye week mixed in there. But those 6 weeks, they're playing against some really good teams from week 6 to week 12.
Yeah, I kind of broke it down. The first five games, we all know that the NFL, as Jeff Lurie likes to say, is a nonlinear progression.
Sure.
Team. There's going to be a team that was 12-4 last year that's going to be 4-12 and
kind of like,
versa.
Remember the Falcons last year, the first game of the season, we thought that was they were going to face a Super Bowl contender, and then the Falcons – weren't nearly that good. That happens every year.
Right. But that said, the first five opponents, and certainly the Packers with Aaron Rodgers could be great. We don't know. But those first five opponents last year were 30-47-1. The first winning team they face is week 6. The Vikings were 8-7-1. But then you have that stretch, and I broke it down to Dallas, a five-game stretch at Dallas, at Buffalo, the Bears, and then the Patriots and Seahawks. Those five teams were a combined 49-31 last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's the meat right there.
The good thing is that you have – I mean, the Patriots have to come here. The Seahawks have to come here. The Bears have to come here. And, you know, at Dallas, I mean, these are all certainly tough games. But the way it plays out, I mean, that stretch is manageable. And I think they have a chance to get to the Vikings at 4-1. And
that's big.
Yeah, and because, you know, the meat of the season, I mean, from – from the Vikings, Cowboys. You know, Buffalo is not very good, but then the Bears, the Patriots, and Seahawks. That's a murderer's row right there.
Is this the way, like, if you had to put a schedule together, if you're an NFL, this is the way you want it? Start off a little easier, get some momentum.
I think those first five games, especially for Carson, and there's some tough defenses in there, but those first five games I think are going to give him a chance, assuming his back is healed. By then, which I'm going to assume is going to give him a chance to
Nate Sudfeld by week six,
get comfortable, get into a rhythm, kind of get his confidence up, because he's been through a lot the last couple of years. And, you know, I really think they have a chance to, I mean, at worst to be 3-2, but, you know, a really good chance to be 4-1 getting into the meat of the season. I remember one year we all looked at the schedule before the season. They had three straight road games, including two on the West Coast, and Donovan got hurt going into that stretch, and they went 2-1 with AJ Feely in those three games.
Yeah,
so
you never know,
but yes, from our vantage point, the middle of the season really, really looks like a very tough stretch. And then, I mean, what's your thoughts on, I mean, at Miami, I think that really gives them a chance to go into that last month with a win. Miami, I don't think it's going to be very good.
They don't have a quarterback.
New coach. What's your opinion on finishing with four straight division games?
I like it. Instead of two against the Giants, I kind of wish it was two against the Cowboys.
It was last year.
I mean, right now it looks like those are the two teams that are going to be battling for the division. So it'd be more fun if it was the Cowboys at the end. The way it stacks up here, the Giants and Redskins aren't going to be very good. So I think that's favorable for the Eagles. If they need a last ditch effort there to kind of push forward to the playoffs, that's pretty good. I mean, Miami, Giants, Washington, that Dallas game could be for the division.
At home,
and then Giants to finish up the season. That's pretty good. I mean, if they're in a situation where they need that last month of the season to win the division, or maybe at that point, if things have gone really well, to lock up a higher seed, that's pretty good. I'll take that from them.
I like the way the NFL does it now with teams finishing with division games, because I feel like you should need to beat the teams. I don't like when a team finishes with like two teams out of the conference and those wins kind of give them a higher seed. You should have to play the teams in your division when it really counts.
Yeah,
I like that.
I'm cool with it. And they've done that the last few years, so I'm all for it. What do you think about the Week 10 bye? That's pretty good, right?
Well, you know what I like about it? Week 11 is my birthday, so week 10 will give you a chance to buy, you and Steve, a chance to buy presents for me.
Billy Joel albums? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah, you do that. We'll see how that goes. You want to do a lightning round and go through each week real quick?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Week 1, Eagles at Redskins. Like you said, Redskins at Eagles. I can't think of a better way to start.
Yeah, that's almost perfect.
1 o'clock
and,
game.
And by the way, Washington has a really tough schedule to start their season. A few playoff teams have to face off the bat with a new quarterback.
I just realized why the Eagles are on the road from October 13th, 20th, and 27th. Because the Phillies are going to be in the World Series.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to give, you know, they won't have to worry about parking for two games at once. Yeah, Redskins and Eagles, I just can't imagine a better way to start.
Yeah, that's the W.
And then week two, I kind of feel like Matt Ryan, this is a Sunday night game in Atlanta, it's their new stadium. Interesting note, it'll be the third Atlanta stadium I've covered a game in.
Really?
The first couple I covered were at Fulton County Stadium.
Okay.
And then the Georgia Dome, which wasn't around all that long.
Did you like the Georgia Dome?
We had the press box wasn't bad because we had a good sight line, but I never liked it.
Okay. I'm excited to see
the
new stadium.
Had that one little elevator.
The new stadium looks incredible.
Yeah, it looks incredible. Right next to the Georgia Dome.
Yeah. Remember when they first put the stadium up and the retractable roof wasn't working? They just spent like $1 billion on the stadium and it wasn't working.
Yeah, and when we were down in Atlanta, we saw them. Was it in 2017? We saw them building the place. It's pretty impressive. But you know, I'm not. I think Matt Ryan at this point in his career, I don't think his arm strength is really there to be an elite quarterback. He's a Hall of Famer. I think he's still good. I think he's still smart and savvy, and I think he's effective. But I think it's a good matchup for the Eagles going down there on a Sunday night.
It is. I mean, I know Julio's banged up. I don't know if he'll be healthy by the start of the season, but obviously he's a, a tough matchup for the Eagles. He's hurt them before.
And have the obligatory last play of the game, Julio, yeah. in the end
zone. Well, the last two times the Eagles have played the Falcons, it's come down to the last play. I mean, you look at the playoff game a couple years ago and then week one last year.
Jalen and Darby, right?
Yeah, so –
same play, different.
Maybe it'll happen again. Who's Cravon LeBlanc on Julio Jones in week two?
I'll take Shandon Sullivan. week three, the
Lions.
Well,
hold on. Atlanta, as a city, I've never been there.
Yeah, you've never been to Atlanta.
Is there something I need to do while I'm there?
Atlanta, you know,
I have some friends down there, so maybe they'll be able to show me around.
I mean, there's a lot of history.
Okay.
A lot of civil rights movement stuff.
I love that kind of stuff.
Civil War history.
Did you see what
I didn't see what he wrote. Our podcast, it's upside down. I can't. No, I'm not even gonna go there. But
I think people can fill in the blanks.
It's there. A great place to go for history. I know you love that stuff. I do too. And you know, it's definitely a place you can really explore the American history in a lot of different levels, from the Civil War to the Civil Rights Movement.
And, okay.
The thing I love about Atlanta, it's got a great light rail system, the MARTA. You can get from the airport anywhere in the city.
That's not a bad trip for Eagles fans. There aren't a lot of great options here.
No.
That Atlanta one could be fun.
The one thing about Atlanta, it closes early. Like downtown
Southern
Atlanta,
cities, man.
Yeah. Downtown Atlanta. Yeah. I was there for the Olympic track trials in 1996 for 10 days. And all the restaurants, even the restaurants and hotels, they would close at like 5 o'clock. Like as soon as people go home from work, the city closes.
That's the way a lot of those southern cities are. Yeah. It's really weird.
You got to go up to Buckhead. Buckhead's the big touristy area.
Okay.
So
I'll be a super tourist that week.
Yeah, it's Buckhead's really nice, and the light rail goes right up there. Week three, the Lions come in. Dave, the last two Eagles Lions games were ugly.
Yeah, but they were in Detroit.
Yes, they were.
You know, the Thanksgiving game a couple years ago. Pretty awful.
45-14?
Yeah, something like that. Chip Kelly, that was kind of the beginning of his undoing that year.
His unraveling.
Yeah. Even though they did beat the Patriots that next week, they still looked awful in that Lions game. And then the Ryan Matthews Thanksgiving game in 2016, right?
Yeah.
That was bad.
Back to back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fumbled 2:41 left, and the Eagles trying to run out the clock. And
are you upset the game's not in Detroit this year?
I'm not a big fan of Detroit, Dave.
I thought you and Big Sean were gonna catch up.
Yeah, I was doing quick slants with Gunner in the stadium on the day before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and Big Sean, who's a rapper, was doing his rehearsal like right behind us, and he kept doing the same song. I guess he's got one song. He kept doing it over and over and over. As we were trying to do live quick slants in on the concourse.
I like to think that you and Big Sean were hanging out.
No, that didn't happen.
And then that night we went to dinner, and we went into this like normal looking like restaurant bar, and I walked in first, and you had just gotten out of this or out of the quick slant show with the music blaring, and I walk in, and in this, it was kind of weird, in this kind of sports bar, they were just blaring hip hop. And I walked in, and before you had a chance to walk in, I walked out. I was like, let's go somewhere else.
Here's a little Detroit trivia, a little music trivia. I try to see music wherever we go. When we were in Detroit in 2016, I went and saw a band called From Indian Lakes. And that band is in Philadelphia tonight playing at the TLA. How about that?
The more you know.
So
I'm really happy we're not going to Detroit this year.
Yeah, me too.
All right.
But we do go to Green Bay the next week for another night game. That's a Thursday night game, September 26th.
That's their only Thursday night game.
Only Thursday night game.
It's their second of five primetime games. They've had five primetime games in each of the last 3 years.
And they've had the second most primetime games since the I kind of think of the Eagles' current resurgence starting in 2000.
Yeah.
When Andy's first good year, Donovan's first good year, first playoff season since 96. And they've pretty much been good ever since, other than a couple blips. But since then, they've been on night football, primetime football, more than any team other than the Cowboys. And that number is going to go up by five this year. Maybe six if they get flexed.
Yeah.
Maybe four if they get flexed.
No one has more than five primetime games.
No one has more than five. Pat, what do you make of the Packers? You're bullish on Aaron Rodgers coming back and being himself.
I'm never going to bet against Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. I mean, that guy to me is – I know Tom Brady's the GOAT, but I don't think I've ever seen anyone play the position better than Aaron Rodgers. So That's I think that's going to be a tough game. I think Green Bay is going to have a little bit of a bounce back here. I know they have a rookie head coach, so maybe it takes them some time. Maybe by week four they have it figured out. I'm not sure. I don't think that's an easy win there. On the road, on a short week, against Aaron Rodgers at home. That's tough.
Yeah, and the Eagles do not have success at Lambeau. They're 5-17 all-time. That includes games played at County Stadium in Milwaukee. They've lost five of their last six at Lambeau, and it's a short week. It's travel after a short week. That's a tough, tough game right there. How do you like that trip? How do you like going to Green Bay?
I had never done it until that preseason game. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yes.
So it was cool for me. I mean, I'd never been there, so getting a chance to go to Lambeau. Before that game, I got there really early and went to the Packers Museum.
Yeah.
It's actually in Lambeau. It's expensive. I think it was like $20 to get in. But
just show your credential, they'll let you in.
What?
You didn't show your credential?
You are awful at telling me information when I need to know it.
Well, I didn't know.
So we also, in our newsroom.
Oh, here we go.
Well, this is important. We haven't had a vending machine because we had all this work done to our newsroom. And today, the day before the vending machine gets put in our newsroom, who goes, I know there's another vending machine in the building. So he takes us to it. Information that could have been brought to my attention yesterday.
You never asked.
That's true. Green Bay is cool, though.
And what do they have in the vending machine? Nathan's hot dogs.
Yeah, I wouldn't eat that hot dog.
Steve went down... Our podcast producer, he was snuck down after he came back up and got a couple of Nathan's dogs. How were they?
he wouldn't be here right now if he ate some of those. Green Bay is cool, though.
It's great.
Especially in September. I mean, if you were on the fence about going to Green Bay, being in September, it shouldn't be as cold as it is in December. So
it'll be nice. And
that could be a fun trip for Eagles fans.
It's such a unique place. If you haven't been there, I can't recommend it anymore. The stadium is like in the middle of a residential area.
It's really weird. There's like houses right next to it.
Yeah, and it's just like in a neighborhood.
And the media parking is in like a grass field.
Do you know that parking lot is not in Green Bay? It's in Ashwaubenon.
Ashwaubenon?
The border.
You made that up.
No, the border of Green Bay and Ashwaubenon is the
end. That's not a real place.
No, it is. The border is the end of the stadium footprint. So once you cross into those grass fields and those
how
houses.
How do you spell Ashwaubenon?
Ashwaubenon. Yeah.
Ashwaubenon.
But no, it's true. No, that's where it is. And
it is cool.
It's great.
I saw you wrote this in your things for fans to know. But if you do go to that game, get there early.
Yeah.
Because it is in a residential neighborhood. It's hard to find parking. It can get expensive around there to park, too.
Yeah, 50
there's,
bucks.
There's not much else, honestly, in Green Bay, right?
Right, right.
I mean, so...
There's a college.
And
there's,
yeah,
I think
as far
a couple
as...
casinos.
As far as... Yeah, there are. I think I did go to the casino, actually, that one night with my buddies who was in town. It's all right. It gives you something to do.
Yeah, and then if you stay in Appleton, just south of there, you can go to the Outagamie County Historical Society.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll do that.
It's pretty nice there. So after the Packers, Eagles have a long week before the Jets come to town. And
the Jets are coming off a bye week, too.
And the Jets are going to stink, though.
Yeah, probably.
New coach. Maybe,
I mean, they added some talent.
It's interesting. Eagles are playing at least four Hall of Fame quarterbacks this year. Ryan, Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and Brady. Maybe Eli. I don't know about Eli, but at least four Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Depending what you think of Case Keenum, might could be five. So the Jets come to town. That's a 1 o'clock game at the Link, week five, October 6th. And that's going to be their last home game until the middle of November. Now, they won't be at home
it's a little
for
stretch here.
A month and a half. So let's look at that three-game road trip after the Jets. After they beat the Jets.
You're writing that in pen
and this
right
is
now.
I think this is pretty cool that the Eagles are going back to U.S. Bank Stadium, the site of – one of the great moments in Philadelphia sports history, Super Bowl 2 years ago. They're going to play the Vikings there, not the Patriots, but it's going to definitely bring back a lot of memories.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's kind of crazy, the history they have with the Vikings.
It's really become a rivalry, even though they're not in the same division.
It has. Going back to that championship game, and then the Vikings beat them last year. Vikings fans had to watch the Eagles go to their stadium and win a game they probably were hoping to be in.
And had to watch Eagles fans take over their city.
Yeah.
Oh,
they really did take over. That'll be fun. It'll be fun to be back there.
And it'll be a little warmer.
Hopefully.
It'll be a little warm.
I actually want to see a little bit of the city, if I can. I know there is some stuff I want to see, because we were so busy.
No, we were so cold.
We were so cold and so busy when we were there, and I got so sick while we were there. I didn't get to see anything, so I am looking forward to that.
Dave and I...
I'm not going to that damn mall, though.
The night of...
That mall can buzz off.
The night... Well, we won't have to. The night of... well, we could stay downtown instead of staying in Bloomington.
Yeah.
We were in St. Paul the night of Media Day, and what was it, -9 degrees out? And Dave and I were trying to walk. We parked in a parking garage across from the hockey arena.
Mm-hmm. And where the media night was.
Where the media night was. And we had a couple hours, so we walked over to... We were going to walk to a certain restaurant. It was like 2 blocks away. And we had gone half a block, and Dave says, we're eating at the first place we yeah. come to. I mean,
I've never been so cold.
-9 degrees, and we ended up in some Irish pub that was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
And that was in St. Paul. So, yeah, that's...
Go with the turkey pot pie.
That's going to be, yeah. And then the second of those three straight road games, this is a tough one. Sunday night in Dallas.
We're getting back to that Sunday night in Dallas. Yeah. Every year with the Sunday night
in
Dallas.
Every year. And... Eagles Cowboys. I mean, it's going to be one of the big draws in football. I mean, it's a great rivalry. Yeah. Both teams are good. They're the only two.
The
good
Eagles
teams.
Have been on the wrong side of this though now for
Eagles,
a while.
The Eagles have only won 12 of the last 29 meetings with the Cowboys.
Yeah, and I mean they've even really struggled down there. Not a lot of success recently at AT&T Stadium. So
3 of the last 4 down there have gone OT.
That's impressive.
Which is crazy. And all 3, the losing team never got the ball.
Wow. Yeah.
Jordan Matthews, right? Caught the...
Yeah, then he threw the ball in the stands.
Yeah, he did.
Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an electric play.
It was. It's been downhill for him and the quarterback since then. and then they finished the 3-game road swing. It gets a little easier, but still, it's a late night in Dallas. They're not going to get home till early Monday and then head up to Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo's not a good team,
no.
But this is the third road game in a row. Coming off,
and their defense is good.
Their defense is good. You're coming off a short week now because you got to fly back from Dallas after a Sunday night game. That's not a gimme against Buffalo. They should win that game, but that's tough.
Yeah, and Buffalo's got no...
Just from a travel perspective.
That's going to be like a 13-10 game. It's just going to be... Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a tough, tough game, very physical. I mean, the Bills do play defense, but they just can't score. We're going to be at that same gate. All the writers take the same 6 a.m. flight from Dallas to Philly day after a game.
Yeah.
For you know, time immemorial, we've taken that same flight, at least from the same sad gate at DFW.
Yeah.
With the smoothie stand across the hallway.
And we all look at each other and go, why do we do this to ourselves? One of us should have just stayed here and slept in.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, though, because we got to get back to Doug's presser.
Absolutely.
So we can deliver all the latest information to you guys. So then after the 3-game road trip, the Bears come to town, so it doesn't get any easier.
No, it doesn't. Mitchell Trubisky, another year into it.
And the Eagles will be honoring Cody Parkey at halftime in that game.
Oh, cheap shot.
They'll be inducting him into the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Cheap shot.
He's a former Pro Bowler.
Cheap shot. Yeah, you're right, though.
I believe he's the
Jordan
only,
Howard, revenge game.
It's the only undrafted free agent who's made the Pro Bowl for the Eagles in the last, I don't know, long time.
Really?
I think so.
That's a pretty precise stat you have there.
So then comes, I just made it up. Then comes the bye week. Yeah, but that is a tough stretch, and it doesn't get any easier after the bye.
It is. The bye is like a chance to take a breath after the 3 road games in Chicago.
But it does get, and here's what I like. The Patriots and Seahawks come to town the next 2 weeks. It's a 4:30 game against the Patriots on the 17th, and then another night game.
Sunday night.
The 4th out of 5 against the Seahawks. So you got Tom Brady and Russell Wilson back-to-back. But those games are here.
They are here. That helps. Coming off a bye helps. They'll get a chance to get some guys healthy, take a breather. The last time – and the Patriots are coming off a bye, too. They have a week 10 bye. So the last time the Eagles played the Patriots and they both had a bye week, it worked pretty well.
Well, the Eagles have won 2 straight against the Patriots.
That's true.
Chip beat them, and I think Doug beat them.
You think?
And so, yeah, it's you split those games, you feel good. You split.
If you had to guess which of those is a win,
Patriots.
Me too. I think so.
Yeah, the
Seahawks, man,
they just have the Eagles' number.
They do, and I know it's away from Seattle, but Seahawks are a good team, and even though everyone thought they were just going to collapse last year. They ended up making the playoffs. So
the Seahawks have won four straight in Philadelphia by an average score of 36-9.
Does that date back to my miserable game?
The Reggie White game.
Yeah,
the game
we talked about last week
when it snowed and they retired Reggie's number and they got beat 42-0.
Yeah, the worst game I've ever seen.
And but yeah, the Patriots are it's going to be. But after that, you know, I think there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel. You go to Miami.
This is where if the Eagles are in a race, this is where they can kind of put their foot down on the pedal.
And yeah, I mean, the next three games are so winnable at Miami, the Giants home, and then down in Washington. And the Eagles have some trouble down in Washington, but not the last couple of years.
By then, who's going to be the Redskins quarterback?
I'm going to guess Mark Rippon. No, I'm going to guess Gus Frerotte. Tom Ramsey. By then.
Well, who knows? You know, we're talking about this now. Maybe Washington trades for Josh Rosen, and they're significantly better than we think. But,
would you take a three for Nate Sudfeld?
No.
Would you take a two for Nate Sudfeld?
I don't know, because you might need Nate Sudfeld. You need a backup quarterback, and there aren't a lot of good ones left out there.
Second round pick for a guy who's never played other than a couple of blips.
I mean, I probably would, but who's your backup then?
Luis Perez.
I don't think that's going to work out.
All right, so
at Miami.
At Miami, December 1st.
Thank you for that, schedule makers. That'll be nice.
Yeah, and it's an interesting series because the Eagles lost their first five games they ever played in Miami. And then in 2003, I don't know if you remember this game, the Eagles went down there, and it was a Monday night. There was like 30,000. That was like the dawn of Eagles fans traveling.
I mean, this is going to probably be the trip of the year, I would think.
Yeah, they'll be because it's an easy ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be 40,000 Eagles fans at that game. But it was a Monday night game. It was the game where Karell Buchholter had that crazy flying backwards upside down touchdown where he curled the ball around the pylon. It's one of the 50 greatest plays in Eagles history, according to a certain book I read. And that was a back-and-forth game. There was like four ties. And I'll never forget, it was tied 27-27. The Eagles got the ball back in the fourth quarter. The Dolphins had just scored. And they started playing the Rocky song.
At the stadium?
At Joe Robbie Stadium. They started playing, yeah.
Did they just play it like normally didn't think about
I think they Eagles just, fans? That whoever plays the music just didn't really, it didn't occur to them that we're going to get, and all the Eagles fans started standing up and cheering and screaming. The Eagles drove down and scored, and they won the game 34-27.
That's crazy.
I'll never forget that. And then they went down there and won in 2011. I believe Todd Bowles was the interim coach when they won that game.
Okay.
Our old friend Todd Bowles, former Eagles defensive coordinator, briefly. They lost their first five in Miami, won the last two, and they'll go down there for week 13, and that sets up the last.
Me and you
month.
Were probably going out clubbing in Miami.
Yeah, we're gonna go to South Beach.
Yeah,
they won't let us.
We'll take the pod. We should do the pod from a club on South Beach.
They won't even let us in South Beach. They won't let us across the bridge. They'll take one look at us and say, "No, you guys go back to Boca go back to Boca." But the last four games, like you said, division Giants, Giants here at Washington, Cowboys here at the Giants, and. Just like they finish, you think they'll be an interim coach last day of the season at the Giants, like in 2015, Pat Shurmur.
I don't think the Eagles will have an interim coach. I think there's a good chance the Giants might.
They'll have
an
interim quarterback by then. Yeah. But it's a great opportunity to finish the season really strong. I mean, you get the Cowboys here, and that's going to be a tough game. But
you have them here.
You got them here,
and they don't travel after Miami. Really, I mean
the
they
Giants
don't get
are going to be a mess by then.
Yeah.
To get the Giants twice in the last, in the last 4 weeks of the season, and at the Redskins, I mean, those teams are going to be out of it. They're going to have nothing to play for. It's a, 3-1 at worst the last month of the season.
I agree with you.
Yeah. So, you look at it and
there really are flows to the schedule. It's easy, hard, easy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way you'd like it.
I agree. I think if you could set it up any way, you'd set it up exactly like this.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the hardest part is that stretch we talked about and the three road games.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I mean, the three road games, to me, are a bigger disadvantage than the three home games are an advantage.
That's too deep for me, but it's too early to pick a record, but
I'd say 12-4.
I'd be surprised if it's less than 11, and I think 12 is really attainable.
I do too.
I think
11 or 12.
Yeah, I think this is a 12-win season scheduled team. We'll see what happens in the draft, but I really think the schedule is very favorable for the Eagles.
Yeah, I do too. We'll see. I mean, we don't even know what the team looks like. We haven't seen one practice in OTAs. So.
Yeah, pretty good idea. Can I tell everybody about the NBC Sports Gold Philly Pass? And this is a great thing for Eagles fans outside the area. You can see all our non-game programming, quick slants, pregames, postgames, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, Eagles pregame and postgame. NBC Sports Gold Philly Pass. All you got to do is go to NBCSports.com/PhillyPass. And if you use the promo code EagleEye, you get $5 off the annual price. A couple other loose ends. We met yesterday, Tuesday, for what, about 40 minutes, 45 minutes with Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman. Not a lot of breaking news.
Mostly nothing.
Mostly nothing, but I thought there were some interesting nuggets. Anything that stood out for you?
Yeah, there are a few things. And I know you're writing about it, or you did write about it. Howie was asked about the importance of this draft class because there is a pretty noticeable void in young talent on this roster, and he bristled a little bit. I don't think he liked the question. He came back with, well, look what we've done. I mean, I wouldn't change anything. And I don't think that's what anyone is thinking. Like, obviously they made right moves. They won a Super Bowl and they're trying to contend right now. But to think that having three picks in the first 57 isn't significant and isn't a significant part of getting youth on your roster is crazy.
Yeah, and first time since 1994 they've had three of the first 57 picks. So it's we talked a lot about this yesterday on Slack. Actually, they don't have an elite player under 28 on the roster.
You're right. They have some good pieces.
Some good pieces. Nelly. I mean, Carson Wentz is, yeah. But other than Carson, they don't have anybody under 28 that's ever made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Other than Carson. And
what was your stat? 67?
67 players league-wide made the Pro Bowl last year under the age of 28. And Eagles don't even have anybody close to that.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Isaac Seumalo and Wendell Smallwood and Nelly and Ronald Darby. And a lot of those guys, a lot of their best players under 28. I mean, Jordan Howard, Nelson Aguilar, Ronald Darby, Jalen Mills, they're all up after this year. So their future is, we don't know if they'll be here or not. As far as guys signed, I mean, Isaac Seumalo might be their best player under 28. Who's here long term?
Yeah,
Rasul, but we don't even know if they like Rasul.
Yeah.
So it was a valid question. It was Zach Berman from the Inquirer asked it, and I thought it was a good question. I thought it was a fair question. I thought Howie's answer. I liked his answer from the standpoint that he really loves the roster they have, and he's not thinking that way that we have to nail this draft. But I think they do.
I think they do too.
I think they need a series, and they haven't drafted bad, but they didn't have a one last year, and
they did. They traded it.
Well, yeah, but that they didn't draft in the first round, mm-hmm. and they need elite young players because it's not a problem now. It's not a problem.
We didn't mention Dark Barnett, who could become.
But all these guys could. I mean,
I think
Dallas
he has
Goddard
a better shot
be.
Than some.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah. But none of them are proven.
The biggest part about this is they're going to pay their quarterback, whether it comes this year or next year.
So they need those young guys.
Yeah, you need. I mean, when you're going to pay your quarterback $30 million, the way you supplement him and that contract is by really young, inexpensive players, because the way the CBA is set up, you're on the rookie pay scale. That's how you get cheap talent.
One thing that really stood out to me was, and we've talked about this, they love Nate Sudfeld.
They do.
And Howie was asked about, because it's always been an Andy Reid thing, and Doug's from the Andy tree, that every couple of years you draft a quarterback. Every couple of years you, even if you have a young stud You know, you draft a guy in the fourth round, in the fifth round. You try to develop him, groom him. Maybe you trade him for a pick. I mean, the Packers did that with Ron Wolf every year. They would develop, you know, an Aaron Brooks or a Kurt Warner. You know, these guys. What's his name?
Flynn.
Matt Flynn.
Yeah.
They all those guys, and they get picks for him, and then they just draft another guy and develop.
Yeah, the Eagles did it too. You know, A.J. Feely and
– yeah, they got a second-round pick for him.
Yeah.
So and he was asked about that philosophy in the context of can we expect you to take a quarterback. He said, you know, we feel like Nate Sudfeld is the equivalent of any quarterback – better than – I think he said better than any quarterback we could have ever gotten in the middle rounds, which tells you – and the fact that they went into a Super Bowl with him as the number two – went into the playoffs last year with him as the number two. And right now, they don't seem to be in any hurry to bring in a veteran.
They don't, which I know has a lot of fans nervous.
It does.
I understand that.
Understandable, but they see him every day in practice. The few moments we've seen of him in regular season games, he's played well. Threw a touchdown against his former team last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Sidney Jones, I think, was it your question about Sidney? I mean, they're so high on him, and you know, I know a lot of fans have given up on him. I know you're a big fan of Sidney.
I'm still bullish on Sidney.
22.
He doesn't turn 23 until next month. He was a first round talent, and I thought Howie actually put it really well. I'm writing about this soon. They viewed that first year as a redshirt season. The way the NFL rules work, they know they're going to still have his rights for 4 years after that. Last year was his rookie season. It was up and down. He got hurt. And what has really gotten lost, and both Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas brought it up, he was actually playing pretty well early in the season last year. It's not like before he got hurt he was awful and stinking it up. That wasn't the case. I mean, the first month of the season, he was playing at a pretty high level as the nickel corner, and then the hamstring started and it never stopped. He's got to stay healthy.
Yeah.
I think that's the key for him. But to give up on this guy and to not have any expectations for him, to me, is just crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch how that secondary takes shape once camp starts, once OTA start and camp gets going.
Anything else stand out from that session?
That was it. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it was. I'm going to write about this at some point, but the fact that Howie said they could play tomorrow, like they feel good about their roster, which is, I've written about it before a little bit, that this team really doesn't have glaring needs heading into the draft.
Right,
and that kind of allows them the ability to not reach. And I asked Howie about, you know, do you take into account a rookie playing? Typically, you want your first round pick to contribute that year. A lot of times, teams want their first round pick to start, but they're not worried about that. It doesn't seem they just want to get the best player. And if he plays a lot his first year, great. If he's a rotational player, great. If he starts, fine, that's what he's there for, but I don't think that's going to influence their
decision. It's a good luxury to have.
It is, for sure.
One other thing that jumped out at me, Howie was asked about, I mean, 19 of the Eagles' last 25 first-round picks have been linemen, which is kind of crazy to think about. And then some of that was before Andy Reid, before Howie, but Howie was asked about the Eagles' emphasis on, and in the first half of the draft, and the Eagles aren't in the first half now, the only two non-linemen the Eagles have drafted since 1991 are Wentz and Donovan at number two. So
the top half of the first?
In the top first 16 picks. Everything else has been a defensive tackle, defensive end, a guard, a tackle. And Howie was asked about that, and he talked about Andy. He talked about, you know, you're a product of the people around you, and his first, you know, decade and a half almost in the league was under Andy, and he – you know, that, I mean, Andy's biggest thing was building around the lines. They didn't always draft the right people, but I as much fun as it is to draft receivers and corners and running backs and guys, you know, sexy names and guys that have all this great film and playmakers, you win and you lose on the lines. And Howie was pretty clear that that's a philosophy he picked up from Andy.
It was funny. I think it was at the combine, Howie was asked about that, and he said, "Yeah, we're pretty boring. Like, we know we're boring, but this is what we're going to do. It's look at our history."
And I think they're going to do it again.
I do, too. I mean,
I'll be shocked if it's not an O-line or D-line. I'll be shocked.
Me, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I mean,
But the second round will be fun.
It would have to be a player who, second round.
Who drops.
Yeah, it would have to be like such a big talent gap to draft a receiver, or probably not a running back, or receiver, or, you know, one of the top two linebackers, maybe. But it's not going
to
happen.
No. Twitter wanted them to take Devin White today. I was trying to.
Well, he's not going to be there.
Well, I know. And then they were like, whoa, if he is. I'm like, well, it's. I mean, he's not.
Yeah.
Well, he could slip. He's not going to slip from 5 to 25.
Why don't they take Nick Bosa?
If he's there, they got to be prepared for it. Anyway, be that as may. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. Really do. Make sure you comment in the comment section wherever you go to download podcasts. We always appreciate the good and the bad, mainly the good, but the bad's welcome as well. We'll be back. We'll be back soon. Monday.
Monday.
We'll do this again. And then after the first round pick.
Yeah, which we're not that far away. This is getting exciting.
Yeah, it really is. And what's today? So 8 days away from that first round pick. By the time you listen to this, it might be 7 days. So exciting stuff. It's going to be fun. Thanks for listening, everybody. For Dave, I'm Rube. We'll see you next time.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.